This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Kate Delaney on my way to Ireland, luckily not stuck in that mess of what happened today with all the flights. And in case you were traveling, I don't even need to tell you, but in case you're traveling in the upcoming days, I don't know that it affects you, but all the airlines were affected by this crazy glitch, an airline glitch, and the weighing, basically the weighing system is how I'll explain it. You can't be cleared for takeoff depending on, you know, the balance, the weight of the flight, and that was a problem across a couple of different airlines, including Southwest, and boy, Southwest has really taken it on the chin lately, haven't they? They've got the whole problem with the big jets, the jumbo jets that are grounded from Boeing until they figure out what that problem is that led to those two crashes. They know they're working on it, the FAA says, but it's still going to take some time. So they've got that, and they've got planes parked in the desert, and now they had another glitch with, along with several other airlines, because of this weighing system thing that they all use. And of course you can't, I mean, obviously who's getting on the flights, and they won't take off anyway, so that's the bottom line. I mean, if the flights are grounded, they're grounded. But as you know, especially regionally, when you start to re-rack airlines, that's where it affects you. So some of you listening in smaller areas who take a regional jet somewhere, like I used to live in Santa Maria, California, and you always had to take a bigger, you know, take a regional airline to get to San Francisco or LA to get out of there. And those kinds of people are affected by this. In fact, there may be people listening to us in that area, and a big shout out to all of you. It's such a cool area, farming, known for that, etc. I really, really loved living there. But I digress. So computer outages causing massive travel delays for five airlines. Luckily, not the one that I was on. In the meantime, there's a big brouhaha about Joe Biden, and a lot of people are talking about this. He says he never meant to make women feel uncomfortable. So the former vice president on Sunday defended his interactions with women, saying he doesn't believe he ever acted inappropriately. But a Nevada politician says that Biden's kiss on the back of her head made her feel uncomfortable. And so now Democrats are questioning whether the 76-year-old is out of step, boom, to have any kind of a successful 2020 presidential run. And of course, he's ahead on all the polls. Now, Maria Cardona, a Democratic strategist, said it looks different in 2019. His behavior is not automatically disqualifying for the presidency. And he did say, Biden said, it was never his intention to make women feel discomfort, and if he did, he would listen respectfully to them. And Stephanie Carter, the wife of former Defense Secretary Ash Carter, disputed the characterizations of her interactions with Biden during her husband's swearing-in ceremony, because there's pictures of the then-VP whispering in her ear and placing his hand on her shoulders, and of course that's all over the internet. And she said, listen, Joe Biden in the picture is a close friend helping someone get through a big day. I'll always be grateful for that. So now anything that happens there, of course, is going to just bam out. And it's interesting. This is going to be interesting to see how this plays out for Joe Biden. That's why he's addressing it. And of course he would address it. And you think of the past interactions and how far back do you go? I mean, Karen Finney, even a Democratic strategist who worked for Hillary Clinton on that 2016 campaign, said that Biden's team needs to answer a key question before launching a White House bid. Do they feel confident in their ability to understand the electorate and campaign in 2020, which is different than 2016? And I agree with that. It's different than in 2016. So Biden trying to swat away all of these character assassinations and what they're talking about with, did he act inappropriately? Is he out of touch with where we are now? And is there just like no way that he could, you know, that he could win his bid to make it into the White House? All right. In the meantime, The Democrats are preparing subpoenas for the full Mueller report. Yes, we're not done with this. The House Judiciary Committee is preparing subpoenas to seek special counsel Robert Mueller's full Russia report. Boom. They don't want this half redacted, a couple pages, you know, whatever. They're going to authorize, they're going to vote to authorize subpoenas related to the number of President Trump's former top advisors, including strategist Steve Bannon, communications director Hope Hicks, chief of staff Priebus, White House counsel Donald McGahn, and Donaldson, counsel for the president, you know, et cetera. They say they were probably five key witnesses in Mueller's investigation of possible obstruction of justice. And they're talking about documents from the White House. I mean, this is just going to keep going. You got the AG saying, look for my report. You're going to get my redacted version of the report. That's what Barr's preparing. He says that's going to come out. It's going to be scrubbed, right? And that's what you would do. And that's going to come out in the middle of April is what they're saying, the middle of April now. So we're going to just keep hearing about this for weeks on end. What's going to happen with the Mueller report? What's in there? What are the Democrats going to pounce on? Are they going to pounce on anything? What's going to happen? You know, it's always nothing but questions, right? Even when you have good sources. And in D.C., this is the focus. I mean, they are focusing on this big time. Other than the president, he said this, and he said this was what he was going to do over the weekend. The president is saying, you know, the U.S. government is cutting aid to El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras after the Prez blasted the Central American countries for sending people to the U.S. and threatening to shutter the U.S.-Mexico border. Trump says there's a very good likelihood that he would close the border this week if Mexico did not stop immigrants from reaching the U.S. Frequent crossers of the border include workers and students, as we know. And, of course, they're freaking out about the disruption if the president shut down and what it would cause and all of that. Beto O'Rourke, who's running on the Democratic side for president, presidential hopeful, denounced the immigration policies. He said it's fear and division. A State Department spokesperson said that they were carrying out the directive by ending money, you know, the aid programs to those three Central American nations I mentioned, known as the Northern Triangles. So pay attention to this, because this story looms large this week. Will the border completely be closed? Will it be closed? Because I'm going to Ireland, Brexit, which would have an effect on the United States somewhat, is huge, and it's huge for Ireland. I guarantee that's going to be part of my conversation there. I had that conversation with the ambassador to the U.S. from Ireland, as you know, months ago. But what's going to happen? Theresa May, still the prime minister, is scrambling, and we know what her first deal is what she wants to see happen. But her cabinet is struggling to guess what her second choice is going to be. What outcomes could she possibly bring? Because, you know, obviously there was the threat of the snap election and the vote for her Brexit deal at the fourth time of asking, and that's crazy. So if Parliament signals its approval of a soft reform of Brexit and another set of late-night votes, then we could see that they could seek the majority to all that they could get in the Commons. They could pass the legislation binding the government's hands if they could get there. Oh, that sounds like American politics, doesn't it? So right now, Brexit is blown in the wind. They're trying to figure out what to do, and it's very important because this affects our relations with them as far as trade and what happens with the euro and then Brexit, etc. And fascinating to watch this. And this has been one of the big things she's had to deal with since she's been prime minister. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way next.
Number one international best-selling author, Matthew David Hurtado's pain was simple. Lyme disease bankrupted him in 2009, watching bankers take everything from his family after building a seven-figure business from his couch. God called him to ministry to teach prosperity based on pain he could not tolerate in others' lives. IRS, creditors, car loans, debt. It's the Babylonian system, and you have to escape it before it's too late. Haven't you ever wanted to wake up from this nightmare? Matthew David's free quick study guide shows you what to do today to build lasting wealth in any economy. His discovery he made? It's all consciousness. Get Matthew's seven-figure quick study guide for clarity, certainty, and a proven strategy to build wealth once and for all. Visit EscapeRightNow.com. Do it now. It's free. EscapeRightNow.com for a prosperous future ahead with peace of mind. EscapeRightNow.com.
Gold is a better way. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. My name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. The book may not be for you, but the tens of thousands who've read it have been blown away to learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. We're so confident this book will change the way you think about investing, we've purchased 1,000 copies from the publisher and are giving them to serious investors. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, we'd like to send you your copy. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776. You can buy it on Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, or text bestseller and get it for free. Text bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Gold is a better way. Text bestseller to 49776.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with a story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Introduce you to our next guest. He's written a really fascinating book, but what I'm especially fascinated by is Don Pickett is a fourth generation sheep rancher from the small town of Oakley, Idaho, and I've actually been through there, and he has such an interesting story to tell, and one that I really believe hits the nail on the head. The book is called Lessons of Nature from a Modern Day Shepherd, and it is incredibly inspirational. Don, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm grateful to be here.
So first of all, let's talk about you being a fourth-gen sheep rancher. What's that like? That has to be kind of a lonely occupation.
Not really. My family settled the Oakley Valley as far back as 1882, and so I have grown up with traditions and with stories and with a work environment that allows me to be anything but bored out here in nature, working with my hired men, my herdsmen, who come from many different countries in the world.
Yeah, so I love that. So when you say they come from many different countries in the world, they have this expertise, right, that you want, or do you help them with that?
They come here with an expertise under the federal government's H-2A work visa program. So they come trained. They know what is required of them. They're experienced herdsmen, and they're used to being alone in nature.
So let's talk about the book. You take that, and you've obviously learned from that. You did a mission. You did a two-year mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in South Africa. That had to be fascinating. You must have learned a lot there. And you wrap so much of that into the book. Tell us what made you decide to write the book.
having worked with these young men for about 35 years, I really felt that they have a story to tell, an educational experience, which is not taught in the universities of the world. Nature is their schoolmaster, not a professor. And they have lessons that I think the people generally who live in the artificial man-made world don't experience, and we've lost sight of that. And I really felt a compelling need to draw that to the attention of people who are interested in this subject.
Yeah, and so as you say, you have a compelling need to put that together. Did it just sort of pour out of you when you sat down to actually put it together?
Yes and no. Some of these experiences have festered in my mind for some time now. But when I finally sat down to write this book, things did kind of come together.
And when, as you say, you know, you talk about being there and having a herder and all those years of experience and what you've learned from that, there's something about nature, but you and I both know this. I think with the world that we live in now, whether you live in a big city or rural area, et cetera, it's so fast-paced on that nature kind of gets pushed aside, and there is something to nature that kind of makes you one with yourself, with God, et cetera. Do you feel that?
Absolutely, I do. I think we fail to recognize that God's creations are based on law and order, not chaos and confusion that we find so much in our man-made world. Nothing is arbitrary or left to chance, and we are part of that creation, and we too are most happy if we're living the laws that our Creator expects us to keep.
And in doing that, what are some of the pitfalls do you think people fall into?
We get short-sighted. We get in a hurry. We take shortcuts in life. We think sometimes that the laws that are universal laws of nature don't apply to us, that we can get away with something that nature, quite honestly, does not allow us to get away with, because as nature teaches us, every seed brings forth fruit of its own kind.
Yeah. And you certainly, besides being this, you know, fourth gen sheep herder, as we've talked about and what that's like, you have a family. You've raised children, certainly. You live in a beautiful part of the country, Idaho, and you also served as an attorney. I was reading something about something that you did with the Idaho Department of Agriculture. You were the chair of the Idaho Sheep and Goat Health Board. That had to be interesting.
It was, and I also at the same time chaired the Idaho's Animal Damage Control Board. And so I've had a taste of politics, but quite honestly, I'm most comfortable when I can come home. I live in an elevation of 4,500 feet above sea level, and right outside my window is a 10,000-foot-high mountain. And I leave 8 months out of the year to travel to these mountains to rub shoulders with my herdsmen. And that's where I really find the most satisfaction in life.
Yeah. Wow. Such a fascinating story. And I want to tell everybody again, you can pick up the book, of course, Amazon. And the name of the book is Lessons of Nature from a Modern Day Shepherd. Very, very inspirational. I mean, obviously on your travels, you've seen some incredible areas. Do you have a favorite place that you could share with us?
Yes, probably one of the seven wonders of the world, Victoria Falls, which is at the top of the country of Zimbabwe. That is fascinating. If anyone ever has a chance to go to that part of the world, that's a place that should never be missed.
Boy, no kidding. And you talk about you know, the different people that you've brought in to your business that have you've had that experience, and obviously you've been doing that for a while. And what's that like to see, you know, these herders come, somebody come work for you and then go back to where they're from? What's that like?
These men usually are in their 20s when they come here. They come here on three-year contracts. The rate of exchange in countries like Peru, Chile, Bolivia, areas like that are they're great for a person to come work here, send some money home, and support their family in a way that they'd never be able to in their own country. But there's a common thread among these men, whether they're from South America, from Greece, Scotland, from Spain, and that is just a great appreciation for the environment in which they work. They develop a profound respect and a stewardship of allegiance for nature's resources. And it's that type of humble appreciation that I think enables them to draw upon these great lessons which our Creator has for those who want to study His creations.
Yeah, wow. Has to be interesting. You've definitely had to have met some really fascinating young men. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, for starters, I think that I would be disappointed if any person who read my book didn't find the quality of their life elevated in some way. Nature has two great laws that I think are at the basis of the lessons of our Creator, and that is, first, the law of obedience. That's how things were brought into order in the first place. The second law being that everything in nature has a purpose, including our own existence on this earth. I hope that a person who reads this book will in some way find a better appreciation for how he or she can fill the measure of his or her creation.
Mm. Wow, that's a beautiful thought. And I can just picture in my mind, because you've really painted a great picture of what it's like to be where you are and what your view is every day. And really, I tell everyone, pick up this book, Lessons of Nature from a Modern Day Shepherd. Very, very inspirational. And you leave us with some things to think about, that's for sure. Don Pickett, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks again for having me.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
Former Vice President Democrat Joe Biden accused of inappropriate kissing and touching by two women, one of them former Nevada politician Lucy Flores, who's also a Democrat, saying she felt uncomfortable 5 years ago when he allegedly kissed the back of her head, smelled her hair, and put his hands on her shoulders. Biden, in a written statement, says he doesn't remember it this way. On Capitol Hill, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi saying the accusations against Biden don't disqualify him from running for president. Biden has yet to come forward to say he's even running in 2020. President Trump at the White House talking about the First Step Act, a bipartisan overhaul of the criminal justice system.
Nonviolent prisoners will have opportunities to participate in vocational training, education, and drug treatment programs. When they get out of prison, they will be ready to get a job.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
I was singing in the shower, singing O Solo Mio. O Solo Mio. As I was singing Mio, I sneezed. So I'm drying up, you know, and I sneeze again. And I blow my nose. A whole bunch of stuff comes out. I'm suddenly realizing that I am breathing out of my nose the best I've ever breathed out of my nose in years. I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden now I'm breathing. What has happened in the past year? I'm a balanced agent. You know, little by little every day, if I experience it, I'm happy. I'm sure this has to do with the balance of nature. I'm sure it does.
When you call, use discount code USA, and we'll take 20% off any first preferred order of Balance of Nature and have it shipped to you free. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of my pillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Once again, he's back with us, Tony Capuana, who has got, I think one of the most fascinating jobs in the world, I have to say, and because I'm a big fan of Marriott. So he's Marriott International's Executive Vice President and Global Chief Development Officer. I love the second part of your title, Global Chief Development Officer. What does that mean, Tony? So your job encompasses, I think, a lot after what we talked about in our first conversation. Give me kind of a thumbnail of what your life is like.
Sure. Well, broadly, my team, which is over 100 transactors in 36 offices around the world, is responsible for all the activity related to bringing new hotels into the system. That team last year in 2016 signed over 800 transactions to bring new hotels into the system. We work on deals where Marriott is the manager. We work with partners on franchise deals. We work occasionally on owned projects, although that's not our core business model. We work on projects where we participate with the company's balance sheet using tools like guarantees, mezzanine debt, key money, and the like. And it is, as you rightly point out, it's a fascinating job. Today we find ourselves in over 120 countries around the world. When you look at our pipeline, which is well over 400,000 new rooms today, there are about 18 or 20 additional countries where we'll be opening hotels in the next couple of years.
And it's interesting, when I look at the news, you know, the world news, even the national news, I probably have a very different interpretation of events than you do, because you're looking at them, first of all, having a much greater familiarity with many parts of the world than your average U.S. citizen, but also they're really going to impact you, so, and your company, Marriott. And I'm interested, when you have a season like we have of natural disasters, how does that impact you at the moment of the disasters? And then what are you looking at in terms of the rebuilding?
Well, without question, when we suffer just the series of tragedies we've all had to deal with the hurricanes, the tropical storms, the hurricanes in Mexico, and the terrible wildfires in Northern California, our principal and primary focus is really around the safety of our associates and our guests. And I'm delighted to share with you that all of our associates and all of our guests in those affected areas are safe and accounted for. Beyond that, we count ourselves lucky, although they were terrible events. Very few of our hotels are closed. Most of them are open and ready to accept customers and ready to help their communities continue to recover from these natural disasters. In terms of how it affects our growth strategies, not a lot. I think because the safety of our associates and customers is so paramount to what we do, the brand standards we've put in place in terms of life safety, in terms of construction standards, in terms of window and door systems to withstand hurricane force winds, I think we'll continue to grow in these destinations. The Caribbean, South Florida continue to be exceedingly popular markets for our guests from all areas of the world. Certainly a few of those markets like Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands will have a bit longer recovery period, and we're doing everything we can to help our associates and our owners in those markets. But we'll continue to look to grow and grow aggressively in those destinations.
Yeah, Tony, so I wonder I thought about this the other day. What's the role of the private sector, do you think, in regions where tourism is the dominant industry?
Well, you know, certainly our view is that travel broadly, the hotel business more specifically, is a tremendous catalyst for economic growth. There is significant job creation both during the construction phase and permanent jobs on the operating side. Hotels tend to drive visitors who are spending real dollars in those communities. So we always are encouraging the communities in which we do business to look for opportunities to make themselves more business and more development friendly. And for the most part, that's what you find. The hotel business is a great business for local communities, and we are often met with open arms from those communities. They have certain ideas about what types of hotels they'd like to have, and we work closely with them and our partners. But I think the private sector really embraces travel and tourism.
And, of course, the phenomena of travel is changing globally. I mean, we see populations of people from countries becoming greater and greater consumers of travel, correct? Like, for instance, in China, we have many, many Chinese travelers that I'm guessing in such large numbers that they're actually having an impact on the industry itself. Can you talk about that?
I can. China is a really exciting market, I think, from a travel perspective. In 2015, there were over 120 million outbound Chinese travelers. And when you look at even the most conservative forecasts, by 2025, that number is expected to grow by over 100 million. So we could end up with well over 200 million outbound Chinese tourists traveling around the world. And so that has a lot of implications for a company like us. Certainly, we want to make sure we're well distributed across China to ensure that those outbound travelers understand who Marriott is, what its brands are, and what we represent in terms of the value proposition and service proposition for them when they travel around the world. And I'd like to think we've had good success there. In fact, if you look today between open and pipeline hotels, we have well over 500 hotels in mainland China. And then I think from an outbound perspective, when you think about 220 million folks heading out to explore the world from China, It's the sort of phenomenon and the sort of demographic trends that caused us to enter into a transaction we did recently with Alibaba. So you may be aware we formed a joint venture with Alibaba that creates a storefront on their site that allows their hundreds of millions of members to explore the world of Marriott, to book Marriott hotels all around the world. And we think that's a tremendous advantage for us as that emerging middle class in China really starts to spread their wings and travel.
We're speaking with Tony Capuano, who is Marriott International's Executive VP and Global Chief Development Officer. I was going to ask you about that Alibaba deal. What a huge deal. I'm a big fan of Jack Ma's, and watching what he's doing is just tremendous. What was that like to cut that deal when you knew you finally had it? Because as we know, and, you know, we talk about pipelines and you're talking about them with hotels, et cetera. But whenever you think a deal is attractive, Tony, you know this, you have to go back and you have to look at it and you go back and forth. How long did it take to make that happen?
Well, it came together relatively quickly. Our CEO, Arne Sorensen, has had the good fortune to get to know Jack Ma a bit over the last couple of years. And I think really the closing of the Starwood transaction was the catalyst to make that deal happen. When you look at the size and scale of Alibaba, it was natural for them to be attracted not only to Marriott in terms of its legacy and its culture, but its scale. If they were going to offer a storefront to their hundreds of millions of members, it is a natural and logical conclusion for them to decide, let's do that with the world's largest lodging company.
And is that, I'm assuming that that deal with Alibaba is really unique for you in the travel industry, to a really unique partnership between two really very different entities. Was that the original thought, was, wow, if we can create this kind of partnership, it really opens the door for lots more partnerships that would be new for the hotel industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, in hospitality broadly, loyalty has an increasing level of importance. We are fortunate enough in our combined loyalty programs to have well over 100 million loyalty members, which sounds like an enormous number. Unless you stack it up next to ABBA with whatever their number is, 400 plus million members. And so I think those sorts of partnerships where we can expose a larger percentage of the world's traveling public to our brands and what they represent are of tremendous benefit to both companies.
Yeah, Tony, it's kind of a curveball here. You're doing some other unique things as well. I know you've got Singles Day that's happening November 11th. Tell us about that.
Well, that's obviously a big deal in China, and I think among the things that drove both the Alibaba team and the Marriott team to get this deal done was to take full advantage of Singles Day.
Hey, I've got a last question for you. Everything that we've talked about is so fabulous, and I think your job is so darn interesting, Tony. We ask a lot of the people that we interview, what keeps you up at night?
Well, I think there are a few things that keep me up at night, most of which are unfortunately beyond my control. When you think about the things that can impact travel and tourism on a global scale, I worry deeply about terrorism. I worry deeply about some of the anti-travel sort of rhetoric that you hear coming out of Washington. We think travel has all sorts of benefits, and with our government affairs folks work hard to work on certainly safely opening the borders, but allowing for more ease of travel, not more restrictive travel policies. And so I certainly worry about that. When you think about our business model, where the large majority of our growth relies on the balance sheets of our partners, we worry a little bit about interest rates. We've all gotten accustomed to historically low interest rate environment. And as much as I'd like to think that will last forever, that's likely not the case. And the impact on our continued pace of development of a sharp spike in interest rate is something I worry about as well.
Tony, what a pleasure, as I said at the top, to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Tony Capuano is Marriott International's Executive VP and Global Chief Development Officer. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with a story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-844-9704.
Watcher of documentaries, and Netflix has a really controversial documentary coming up called American Circumcision. And I started thinking about it. Why is this so controversial? Because circumcision itself, and I know it's a sensitive topic, and bringing it up here on the show is interesting for me because in this version of For Your Health, this completely fits in. So joining us now, he's in our virtual green room, Anthony Los Cuadro, founder of Intaction. You can go to intaction.org and find out more about that. He's a circumcision expert. Anthony, thanks so much for popping on.
Hey, Kate. Thanks for having me on the show.
So I'm going to start off with this. Why is it so controversial? And maybe I'm answering my own question. Because, I mean, this is a health segment. We should be able to talk openly about health concerns and what how some people feel and how some other people feel. But for some reason, it really is something that's kind of off the table, isn't it?
It is, and that's a great question. You know, it's controversial, really, in America, but the rest of the world, it's controversial for the reverse reasons, because they don't practice circumcision there for the most part. So what's going on in America? It's controversial because Americans have been told for decades this circumcision, cutting off part of the male's body, is so important to do. And now they're starting to get information that maybe they've been misled, and it's natural for people to put the defenses up and to try to protect their ego and their decision making, and say, I don't want to discuss this. I was told to do it. It's a health issue. We did it, or I had it done to myself, and that's the way it is. So, you know, when somebody brings along new information, that can stir up a controversy.
Yeah, and so, you know, here's the thing. There is no choice in this if people just do it and it's automatic and we assume that this is the right thing to do because it's routinely done on infants. It just happens, which is, in a different way, crazy. There's no, you don't really have control over it. So I guess that's the question to answer. First of all, what is it?
Well, exactly. I mean, like you said, a baby has no control over it. The individual has no control because he can't consent to it. And it's almost, you know, it's the same circumstances as what's done to little girls in other parts of the world where they do female genital mutilation. And the advocates that are against that, they would dispute that. But it, essentially, it's the same thing whether you're doing it to a boy or a girl. And so, you know, That's
another aspect. So here's the question. Is it, for people listening, you know, we're talking about, and especially because now it'll be raised even more with this Netflix documentary, American Circumcision, is it harmful?
You know, it is harmful for two reasons when it's done to baby boys. First of all, there's the pain and the trauma, okay? You have to realize doctors can't use anesthesia on a baby, so the baby's getting the full brunt of this procedure that takes as long as 15 minutes. People like to imagine, oh, it's just a snip, it happens really quick. This is a 15-minute-plus procedure in which the foreskin is crushed in a clamp-like device in order to get hemostasis or to stop the bleeding. It's just a fancy term. And it's like getting your finger caught in a car door and slamming it shut, except we're going to keep the car door slammed shut until the bleeding stops. That's what circumcision is about. So it's painful. This, you know, people, the second myth is that people think, well, babies can't remember it, so no harm, no foul. And, you know, just because a baby or an individual or a child can't remember something, that doesn't mean it doesn't affect him. Okay, the pain and trauma done to babies during this procedure has been associated with changes in the brain, in particular the hippocampus, which is the area that controls memory, emotion, and other functions that are crucial for development. You know, when a baby is born, its brain is like a blank slate and is making millions of neural connections from the moment that it's born, and so it can, you know, it's critical for its survival going forward, so it knows how to interact with its environment. And the first thing that it's subjected to is this intense, incredible pain and trauma, and it has all the elements of PTSD. The brain and the adrenal glands dump cortisol into the body, which is a stress hormone. We're doing all this pain and trauma to a baby for no reason, because, you know, over 22 medical associations around the world specifically say we do not recommend infant circumcision.
Yeah, there you go. So there are organizations saying that. How many, and I know statistically it's probably hard to even come up with this, but how many circumcisions do you figure that are done? Because I think it's got to be a high number.
Well, you know, to answer your question directly, it's in the United States, it's probably about 1 million done every year.
Wow.
The rates as of 2012, which is the last hard data we have from CDC, was about a 56% circumcision rate. Those rates are dropping, so now we're into 2019. So we think we're approaching the 50-50 mark, because more and more people are realizing that we're not doing this to our son. This is just crazy. But so we're at about 50-50. And you have to realize other parts of the world, like Europe, It's like under 5%. Nobody does this. When we talk to a European and say, you know, we have this problem in America where they're obsessed with circumcision, they're so taken back, and they can't believe what we do to our children.
Yeah, there you go. We're speaking with Anthony Los Cuadro. He's the founder of Intaction here on For Your Health. So tell us about what you do. What does Intaction do?
Well, you know, Intaction is an organization I started because I felt that babies needed a voice in this, and Americans were sorely lacking in good information on it. So what Intaction does is our main thing is we run public events. We have mobile units where we go out and our advocates distribute literature, engage people in conversation, and talk to them about this issue. We talk about things. You know, it's an unusual job, but you know, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? And we talk about, you know, the four powers of foreskin, which is the benefits foreskin provides, which is pleasure, protection, lubrication, and connection. Nature put it on our body for a very good reason. It's in our DNA. We're supposed to have it.
Yeah, and you talk about this. I mean, you mentioned this with the babies. You assume, oh, no big deal. But it makes me wonder, how did this start? Where's the history of this?
Well, it's a really bizarre history in America. You know, it wasn't common in America up until around the 1890s or so. And a movement started where it was believed masturbation was the cause of many medical illnesses and psychological harm. So they started on a campaign to try to prevent this. And you have people, notables like Dr. Kellogg, who was the inventor of Kellogg's cornflakes. He was a celebrity doctor of his day, and he was one of the advocates along with others like John Lewis Sayer, who became president of the American Medical Association. And they started this campaign in America to start circumcising babies. First, they tried to get men to be circumcised, but that was too difficult of a sell. If you're an intact male, someone says, well, we're going to cut off your foreskin. You're gonna have
yeah, you're not War doing III. It. Yeah, exactly. I agree.
III. And they didn't have World War III yet. So, so they said, well, all right, that's not selling. Let's convince the parents to do it to their children. And that took off, and under the guise of masturbation. And then they said, well, it prevented polio and typhus and all these other types of diseases, which, you know, the reasons they dreamed up were a legend. And it became a business after that. And they started circumcising. As more and more babies became born in hospitals as opposed to home, doctors just started doing it automatically. Parents didn't even have a choice in the matter. And then it became a business, and it became a cultural norm. And then after a while, parents expected it to be. It became, you know, a symbol that your baby was born in a hospital and you were upper class. And that's how it became entrenched in America. And we're really unique from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
This didn't happen.
Well, you said it. There's the word. You were considered upper class. So it's like keeping up with the Joneses. That's a weird analogy, but it's true. So if they're doing it, they're doing it, they're doing it, that's what happens. You become like sheep in whatever we're talking about. And then you don't question enough. So that's what's so interesting. We question, especially because some of the horrible things we've seen about genital mutilation for females, but we really haven't questioned very much about men, have we?
You know, we haven't, but, you know, times are changing. People are talking about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and not only that, they're realizing that, you know, we criticize other cultures for cutting girls, but then those other cultures turn around and say, you're a hypocrite because you're doing it to your sons.
Exactly. It's crazy. All right. Check out intaction.org. That's the best place to find out more information about it. Anthony, thanks so much for spending time with us here on the show.
Kate, thanks for giving me this opportunity to help try to enlighten Americans on this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about it, America. Check it out. And thanks so much for listening to us.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.